Hi, my name's Danny Crone from Enfocus, and welcome to this session. Today, we're going to be looking at Visual Studio 11 and how to build robust coded UI tests. So without further ado, I think I'd like to get on with actually starting the demonstration. Now, where we're going to start is the Microsoft Test Manager. And the reason for starting here would be that actually, we might have our manual testers creating action recordings for us so that we can then turn those into robust coded UI tests. So what I would like to do is demonstrate the full end-to-end process of how to do that. So as you can see, we're on a Microsoft Test Manager and we're looking at a particular test script. Now, it's a fairly straightforward script. It's going to do something called create a new ticket. And that ticket is going to be in the FiberCam solution. The sequence of steps that we've got is to start the application, create a new ticket, and so on and so forth, all the way through to closing the browser. So what we're going to do is execute that, but turn action recording on. And this is how the manual tester might do it. So first of all, they click to run the test. Now, there's already an action recording for this particular test, but I'm going to overwrite it for the purpose of this demo. So we start the test, and the first thing it tells us to do is to start the application. So we'll open a new browser, and we'll browse to our URL. And sure enough, our dashboard comes up, so we're going to pass that particular step. Click Create New, so we'll do that. And we can see we get a new create form displayed. We'll pass that. Now, it's fair to note, and I like to keep this window open most of the time, is that our actions are being recorded for us down here, and we can actually see that if we expand this window. So the next thing it's going to do is ask us to enter a title. So this is a title, and we're happy with that, so we'll pass that step. Set the escalation to level 1. Well, it's already at level 1, but we'll just select it anyways, just so that the tool can recognize the control and pass that. Enter a description. We'll enter a basic description. And now it's asking us to select Helen Bennett as the customer. So if we scroll down here, we should see the customer select functionality. We click that and we get another dialog. Here we can see Helen Bennett in that dialog, so we'll select that, and that becomes the selected customer now. So we'll pass that step. It asks us to click the Create button, which we scroll down to, and we click Create. And there we see our ticket, our newly created ticket. So we're going to pass that step, and then it asks us to close the browser. And so that's our script that we're going to use now to customize encoded UI. So I'm going to end that test, overwrite the existing recording, and save and close that. Now we're done with Microsoft Test Manager for the time being. So we're going to close this. So the next thing we would do is come into Visual Studio. And from Visual Studio, what we're actually going to do is create a new project. So if we do File, New, Project. Now, there's many different types of projects that could be selected. But for us, and for the purposes of what we're trying to achieve here, we're going to use the test category and go for a coded UI test project. We're going to give it a name that's meaningful, so we'll call it FabricCam. Automated tests. We click on OK. Now, that creates all of the scaffolding for us over here for our particular coded UI test. But what we're actually going to do is use an existing action recording. So the first thing it's going to ask us for is which particular test ID. Now, we happen to know it's 80. So we click the Find button and it appears in our list. We select it and click OK. With that, it brings down the test as was recorded into the Coded UI test now. And we'll see all of our steps here produced in the Coded UI test method. It's worthwhile pointing out several additional files at this point. So we've got the UI test file here, and then you've got a uimap.cs and a uimap.designer.cs. Now, from the action recording, this uimap.designer.cs is the file where all of the actions go into. But as a point of note, it is actually an auto-generated file, and you can see that at the top there. Which means that if we change or we record any new actions, then this file will be overwritten, it will be regenerated. And that's why we have the uimap.cs. It's in this file that we're expected to do any customization that we want to be sticky. So let's have a look at the uimap, the uimap UI test file. And if we open that up, what we actually see is all of our actions on the left-hand side and all of our controls on the right-hand side. Now, from an automated testing perspective, the UI map is a very familiar thing for us, and it's something that we would like to keep well-trimmed and also meaningful. And at the moment, you can see that the words, the names are not as meaningful as they could be. And so in order to create robust automated tests that are maintainable, it's better that we rename these objects. So we're going to go through that step by step. The very first thing that we might want to look at is the starting of the application. And here, as we see, we're doing three different things. First of all, we're starting a blank page in a new browser. Then we're actually going to type in a URL, and then we're going to hit the Enter key. Now that's a bit longhand, really, and we know we can do that in a more efficient way, so we're going to do that. And what we can do, first of all, is to tidy up some of this. I'm going to remove this commented code, and I'm actually going to put in here launch now. This command is going to launch a new browser for us, and it will launch the browser type that we're actually asking for. By default, it's Internet Explorer, but you could change that to another browser. So now we've got a very robust way of starting the browser. But what we also have is this extraneous code. And so what we're going to do is remove this line, but we also need to remove it from the UI test file as well. So as we go here, we can see that for the address and search features, we've actually got several actions that are being performed. We're going to remove these. And remove this last one, which means that now we don't have our start the application action. But it does mean that we can remove these items as well. So again, in the interest of keeping this UI map very clean, we're going to go through and process this hierarchy. So we delete that. Now, it's always good practice, I think, once you've made some modifications, is to actually try and run the tests and see if they actually execute properly. So we're going to do a build first. And I think we're missing some quotes here. So now we'll run all of those tests. It's just one. And what this should do is replay the sequence of events that occurred as the manual tester was recording their actions. So it should click on Create New. And it's fair to note that I generally hands off at this point because Coded UI is going to actually move the mouse. And if we, you know, interfered with the mouse, then we could actually take focus away from a particular control. So it's entered a description. The next thing it's going to do is select a customer. It picks Helen Bennett and then clicks the Create button. Now it's closed the browser, so we can't see any of the actions and the fields that we would want to validate on the following screen, but we'll come to that in a minute. The most important thing is that we go through and try to make some of these other actions a bit more robust. So, first of all, the click Create New. And if we come over to this side and we look at this, we can actually see this is where we've got our method name. I'm going to change that to click create. Click create new ticket, which makes it more meaningful. We can expand that and see where it has its link. Now, this is where I would rename this particular UI control. So I'm going to give this a name of create new tickets. And now what I would probably do is go up through the hierarchy and rename each of the objects there as well. So here we know we're in some kind of content, so we're going to use this as the dashboard form. And we know we're on the home page, so home page doc. And we also know that this is the home page. So now that's all nice and tidy, and the objects are clear. We still have some other noise down here, and we'll clean that up as we go through. So, first of all, it clicks on the Create New Ticket. Then we know that a form is displayed. So I'm just going to open the application up and do that and have that to the side so that I'm clear on what's actually being performed. So first thing it's going to do is enter a title. So here we've got enter a title, but actually we probably want to call that enter title. And we can see as we select here, we can see the object on which it's performing the action. It's the title edit field, but really, I'm going to call that title. And the reason for calling it title is that we like to keep the objects in this control map to be anonymous in terms of what type of object it is. And that allows for some flexibility later if the object type itself changes, for example, an edit field to a drop-down field, the amount of rework that we'd need to do would be reduced. So whilst I'm here, I'm actually going to rename some of these others. Escalation level there. This is select customer. This is the customer. Select dialogue. And here we've got ticket form and our create button there. Now we need to go up a level and work our way back up the hierarchy. So here we've got create document, and this is actually the create ticket document. Let's just call it doc. And here we've got the new ticket page. Now, our UI map is starting to look a bit more tidy. And this is going to help later on if somebody has to come in and maintain this. So, we were actually at the entering a title. We can see that the title's been set. Now what we need to do is save that and come back here and make sure that we rework our methods here as well. So, this is click, create new ticket. This is no longer enter a title, it's enter title. Now we've got set escalation level to 1. Now this is an interesting one because if we just did the regular tidy up on this particular method, then it wouldn't give us any flexibility later of changing that escalation level. Now there's many different ways to achieve this particular task, but I'm going to go through one way that you could do this. So the first thing that I want to do is have a look at my definition within the UI map. So here we've got set escalation level. I'm going to change it to that rather than to a specific, and we can work on the parameters later. So we've got select level 1 in the escalation level combo box, and we can see the combo box there. So I'm going to save that, and the first thing I'm going to do now is I'm going to move that code. And when I move the code, I'm going to move it from the designer.cs over to the uimap.cs. So as I move that code, we'll see that it disappears from this window and I can no longer modify it from this window. I can, however, modify still the objects with which those actions interact using the UI control map side of things. So I'm going to save that and have a look at our uimap.cs, and we'll see that what we've actually got now is our set escalation level. I think the first thing that I'm going to do here is pass a parameter into this. So we're going to set this as ticket escalation level. And instead of using a parameter, I'm actually going to use that parameter that was passed to the method. So set execution level takes one parameter of ticket escalation level, and it's actually going to use that to select the item in that object. So that's not the end of it. Here we have to also call set escalation level, and we need to pass a parameter. So we call this level 2 here. And now we've got the flexibility of being able, from our test, to specify different parameters for those actions. Also, here it might be a good idea to change our test to say this is create new ticket test. Now what we're left with is enter a description. So again, we're going to go over to our UI map and we've got enter a description. I'm going to change that to enter description just so that it's more obvious. In there we can have a look at the actions. You can see that we're clicking a particular object and then we're typing something into that object. So here we're going to call this description. We're going to call this description frame. Now, there's nothing else that we really need to do on this particular action, so we'll leave that there. So we've now done our title, we've done our escalation level, and we've done our description. The next thing to think about is our selecting a customer. So, as we see here, when we select a customer, the first time round, we picked Helen Bennett. But if we wanted to pick, say, Janine, then what we could do is just copy that to the clipboard. And instead of this, we can do the same, go through the same sort of process over here. So we'll call this select customer. And in here, we can change this to select a customer. So we can keep it anonymous at this point here. Now, if we then change this to select customer, and we go and have a look at that, we'll see this is where the actions are actually being performed. So it's mouse clicking on the particular select customer object, and then it's going to click on a particular customer in the dialog that results. So if we actually have a look at the definition of this, we can see here that we have a search properties of inner text looking for Helen Bennett, and this is the bit that we're going to customize. Now, it does make sense to prune all of these things, and that is possible within the UI map editor window as well. But what I'm going to do here is just copy that to the clipboard. And I'm actually going to take this and move this code as well. So now we have the code over here. Select customer. And of course, the first thing we're going to do is pass in a string parameter, customer name. Now, at this point, what we want to do is take this particular object, our select a customer object, and deal with the search properties of that. And instead of Helen Bennett, we're actually going to take the parameter that we passed in, which is customer name. Now that means that this method is also parameterized. And you can see how you can parameterize the identification of objects. And that's really important when it comes to building not just robust, but also flexible UI coded UI tests. So the last thing to do here is to actually pass in our name. And again, I'm just going to copy that from the clipboard and paste it in there. You've got click create new and then close the browser. What we'll do is we're going to put a breakpoint on here. I'm going to save everything, and we're actually going to click on build and rebuild the solution, which gives us our newly modified test name, and we're going to debug those selected tests. I do this for several reasons. One is so that it actually will execute the tests, and therefore I'll find out whether I've been successful in the modifications, and also, secondly, it positions us at the right point to actually start doing some validation. So it's the validation that I really want to take you through. So it's going to enter a title, set the escalation level to 2, put in a description, Now this time it should pick Janine as the customer. So we'll check that. It does indeed. And now it's paused, ready for us to pick up. So I'm gonna stop processing at that point. And just take a look at that screen. Yes, it's got Janine in there, so I'm going to hit the create button. And this is the screen that gets returned afterwards. Now, this is where we would probably want to do some validation. So we're going to add our validation now. And the way that we would do that is after our click create, we're going to right click here and generate code for coded UI test. We're going to use the builder this time. Remember last time we used the use existing action recording, but this time the coded UI test builder. Now this will be very familiar to anybody who's done any automated testing before, but effectively we can now browse our application using a crosshair. And the way we do that is drag the crosshair up to the objects that we want to recognize. Now in this particular case we want the title. But the title is just in paragraphs, so we need a way of navigating to those. So if I drop the crosshair there, what we can actually do is navigate to the children using this particular control here. And then go to the peers. So as you see, as I move through, I get through the different pieces of text that I could validate. Now we're on title. This is a good point to do some validation. So we're going to take the property that's called inner text, and we're going to add an assertion there. Now what this does is allow us to enter a comparison value, also a comparator, but we're just going to use the standard R equal in this particular case. But the validation messages can be pretty useful when it comes to processing result files. So validation title field, and we click OK. Now we can go ahead and locate that control, make sure it's recognized, navigate to the next thing that we're interested in, this particular case the level, and we'll add an assertion there. Again, same thing. And we click OK. Now we can go through and validate all of the controls on this field if we like, but now what we're going to do is save that as a validation method. So validate all fields for tickets. And we could put a description to say this . So this method validates all of the controls for a ticket form. It's very important to keep these descriptions, these names and descriptions, very meaningful, and that helps with maintenance later. So we add and generate, and now it would allow us to actually go through and perform some more validations if we liked, but we're just going to close that. I'm going to close my browser as well. And you'll see what it's done. It's created a validate all fields for tickets. What we'll do is we'll have a look at the UI map and what it's put in there. So as we double click on that, you can see we've now got validate all fields for tickets and our two validations there on our two controls. Now again, what I would do is go through and rename these, but for the purposes of demonstrating, you know, the next piece, we're going to change this so that the validation would fail. So I'm going to be interested in the title failing. So this is a title 1, and this is level 21. So that should, in theory, fail. Save all. And now we're going to run that through. So it should create a new ticket, enter the details in that we've specified, and then go and validate the final screen. Now there's two validations and both validations will fail. So let's see how that is demonstrated to us through Visual Studio. So there it is, entering the description, selecting Janine, and hitting create. Now it's done the validation. And if we wait for those results to come in, we should see it's failed there. And as we select this, we can actually see more of a description down here. So we've got a message that says assert are equal failed, expected this is a title one, and we actually got just this is a title. Now, if we look at the detailed output here, we can just see that in a bit more real estate. You'll notice that the second validation would have failed as well, but it actually failed to perform the second validation. And the reason for that is assertions raise exceptions. And if those exceptions aren't caught, then no more processing in the test will execute, and it will just go straight to the cleanup code. So I think at this point, what I'd like to do is, in true Blue Peter style, is show you one that I created earlier. So I'm going to open my previous solution and just talk through some of the pieces that I've put in here. The first thing is I've created a framework class, effectively, that allows me to write out information not only to the test results, but also to other locations. And the other thing that I've created in here is a method to close robustly all of the browsers, whereas before we were clicking on the close button, which might be open to failure from time to time. This robustly goes through all processes in the process list and kills anything that's Internet Explorer. And again, you could customize this for other browsers if you needed to. So that's our very small framework file. If we actually have a look at our ticket tests, you'll see that I've left some of the code in there that we created before, but actually I've replaced all of these or some of these methods with a create ticket method. And if we go and have a look at that, you'll see that I've consumed all of those and built them all together. And that means now that I have a very nice way, a nice component there for creating a ticket altogether. The same is true of the validation, of course. But the slight difference in this one, if we go to the definition, we'll see that in here we're passing parameters. And actually, when we go and do the assertions, you'll see that we're using the parameter that we're passing in. However, we've wrapped it this time with a try catch. And you'll see in the catch, what we actually do is take that assertion failure and pass it to our framework method, which will log out, but also we don't rethrow the exception. And that means that the test processing can carry on. So that means in this particular case, all four of these assertions will execute. I know that. But the problem is, how do I tell the unit testing framework that a failure has occurred? And so what I've done is I've returned from this method a string that contains a message about the failure. And therefore I can check that. So at this point I check it, and if indeed we have had some failures, I throw a new assertion failure. I log out some description that explains that there are some assertion failures, and it's up to the user to then go ahead and check those out. We can go and prove that in this particular case by changing this test so that it fails. And you'll see we've got our input parameters and our validation parameters down here. So if we change these, and we change every one so each one should fail, and then we run all of our tests, we should see, again, our test executing with it creating a new ticket, entering the information into the fields. But this time, when it validates, it should actually perform all validations and have a single failure at the end. So there it is, creating the description. Select a different customer in this particular case, create, Now it's doing the validations, and now we should see our test result. So as we select that and go to our output, this time we can see the overall test result is that it's failed, and that it actually says one or more assertion failed. Please see the result details for more information. And there below that, you can see all of the expected and actuals that didn't match. So here are some resources that might be helpful. And if you need to get in touch with me, there's my email address. And also, if you want to take a look at our blog, blog.nfocus.co.uk.